Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This hour is brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 1-866-4-SEASONS.
What was the message to the team after tonight's win?
Pack your bags. We get to pack our bags, man. That's all we wanted to do today is pack our bags. Man, I think the guys are fired up to pack their bags, no doubt about it. And we had to earn two hard-fought wins. We did that, and now we get the opportunity. And the fun of getting to go close out a series.
I do like the way that sounds. Coming from the manager of the Chicago Cubs, Craig Counsell, after last night's 6-0 win over the Crew. There will be a Game 5. Pack your bags, yo! Cubs at the Brewers tomorrow night, 6:30 pregame right here on The Score. A 7:08 start as we welcome you back into the Rahimi, Harris, and Grody Show with my guy Gabe Ramirez sitting in today. There are options. I have at least three different options for the Cubs and their starting pitcher, but like a good host of the show, I would like to allow our very special guest here today. Unless you want me to jump into this, Gabe, I will, but I was going to say I want to give you the first stab at it and what you think, who you think would be the best fit to start for the Cubs against the Crew, knowing what you know about what has already transpired in the Padres and Brewers series.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think, you know, David Hall and I, we've had these discussions on CHSN's The Chicago Lead, the show we do together, and he is adamant that Shota and Imanaga should not be getting the ball. Now, whether it's this game or, you know, previous games, he's just weary about his success over the last few months and is obviously giving up the long ball in a lot of situations. But for me, you know, and I'm just listening to who am I listening to? Bruce Levine, just like one of the best baseball minds in the city. And he said, just like Craig Counsell when he started show the last time out, you got to just lean on the people that you know can get the job done. And granted, listen, you cannot go out there, especially if you're the Cubs, put Shota on the bump, and as a fan say, well, there goes that one. Shota Imanaga can't pitch anymore. He's gave me so many great outings, but now he's going to give up 4 home runs and we're going to... No, you put him out there because he understands what's at stake as well. Now, listen, if you want to have an opener out there like they did Kittredge the last time Shota was out, or 2 times ago that he was out, I understand it. Get through the first 3, you know, in the lineup, get rid of Yelich, get rid of Chirico. Like, I understand. I'm okay with that. But shying away from Shota Imanaga when you have him or Colin Ray that you want to go to. And Colin Ray has been serviceable throughout the season. Like, there's nothing against that. But I'd rather see Colin Ray come in a lower leverage situation to not necessarily... Because if you start Colin Ray and he does bad, everyone's going to say, you should have put Shota Imanaga out there, right? And so I think what you do is you put your best foot forward. Shota Imanaga understands the severity of the moment. He is extremely capable. Right. I mean, granted, it's up in the air whether he will be able to perform or not. But the fact of the matter is he is capable. He can give you 4-5 innings of top level baseball if he has pinpoint location with the fastball, if the splitter is actually splitting. and because we saw it didn't against Manny Machado and other people of the likes. But for me, it seems like a no brainer. And this is somewhat from the outside looking in. Say, what? You give me an opportunity to have Shota on the bump, and I understand how he's been pitching of late, but in Game 5, when Boyd's already been used, Cade Horton's hurt, you could make a case for short rest, Jameson Taillon. But for me, it's no doubt. You put Shota out there. You have the rest of your team rally behind him, as you know they will, because they want him to get that victory. and you leave the rest up to Craig Counsell and Craig Tober and what he can do. But I am curious, Grody, for you, diehard Cubs fan. I know it probably gives you the heebie-jeebies to think about Shota and Minaga starting. What does that look like for you, Game 5, if you were at least not the manager, but someone that had the manager's ear?
I am more vulnerable to listening to the facts about Colin Ray potentially starting this game because Shota's just been bad. Shota, 6 2/3, has allowed 6 runs, 3 homers, 113 pitches altogether. He's been bad, and he has given up devastating home runs, devastating hits, and this obviously is for all the marbles. I do look at Colin Ray. He has pitched twice in the postseason, the Wednesday game 3, that's a Cubs 4-3 win, 3 1/3, no runs. He also pitched in the Shota game, the 7-3 loss. So 75 pitches altogether in this postseason, and you're right. Colin Ray has been solid. To me, it's not ideal to be thinking about starting Colin Ray in an important playoff game. And this is why. Like, if I got to answer the question, it's still Shota Imanaga. And I, like, hear people go, no, I get it. But guess what? There were things that, as for the start of our show today, what you and I were both bouncing about was the fact that you got stuff from a bunch of guys last night that there's no way you thought you were going to get. And a lot of it is because eventually the guys that are the starters, the guys that were the best players on your team all year, have to eventually start to perform. Matthew Boyd gave you exactly what you needed when a lot of us thought he would not give you exactly what you needed. Ian Happ, who people were ready to just sit down and we'll see you next year, gave you a 3-run homer that makes up for how bad he has been in the postseason, 2-for-21 with 11 strikeouts. Now I don't care. And like I said, I should just scratch that note out right now because it doesn't matter anymore. He gave you something massive that's 3 days worth of work right there. Matt Shaw, who we haven't really talked about much today, with that base hit last night to make it 4-0, and everybody knew you needed another run. I know that the Brewers didn't score a run last night, but to think that 4-0 wasn't one of the most important runs of the game. So in other words, Matt Shaw, Kyle Tucker last night, dead man walking. He ain't coming back. He's not contributing. He's getting singles. He's getting picked off of first base. And then Kyle Tucker gets that home run off of Robert Gasser last night because eventually he's going to have to do it. So I'm applying that theory to Shota Imanaga. Give us the good stuff here because all those other guys acted accordingly. They fell in line. It is time for Shota Imanaga to fall in line. So he is still my choice for the Cubs to start tonight over Colin Ray. You got to get him out of there on first glimpse. If there's runners on first and second in the first inning, maybe you do pull him. Maybe you have Colin Ray standing by. The other possibility is, and this is only because they did this once this year, you got to follow the breadcrumbs a little bit, would be Andrew Kittredge, who did not play in yesterday's game and will have had another full day of rest. So he pitched game 2 against San Diego. He went 1 run and allowed a run. So that's not what you want from your opener. I get it, but I'm not leaving, and 2 hits for that matter. I am not leaving out that possibility, but guess what? It's Shota Imanaga for me.
Yeah. I think everybody that's texting in, right? Those are the same people that probably said, don't pitch Matthew Boyd. Because of his last performance and how poorly he performed.
But he did pitch well in the first game against San Diego in the playoffs.
Fair.
Yeah.
But I'm saying those are the same people that are like, oh, boy, no, don't do him again. I'm scared because this is an elimination game. I don't know what's going to happen. No. You put him out there. Listen, even with Kittredge, Shota Imanaga, for those that are also texting in talking about homers, yeah, he gave up a homer, but he only gave up 2 runs in total in 4 innings. I don't care how many homers you get. You know, if you're only giving up 2 runs in 4 innings, I'll take that. You will too if he's starting on the bump for you. And listen, you got to score runs. And obviously the Cubs struggled in certain moments throughout this playoffs to put runs on the board, but you want your best pitcher that's available. And listen, Craig Counsell isn't sitting here saying, you know, shivering, going, oh my God, I gotta start Shota Imanaga. No, he's having a chat with him. He's a former professional baseball player. Shota, this is what you got to do. And then listen, if you were to take out the Mets start back at the end of September and take out that bad start at this last one for Shota Imanaga, he hasn't given up over 3 runs in any starts. I can go back to July 25th. So again, you can talk about what he's done as of late, but what you ultimately want from your pitching staff, regardless if it's Colin Ray, regardless if it's Sheldon Managa, regardless if you're putting in Kirchhoff in the front, you just want to minimize the runs and give your team an opportunity to win. And if you think Sheldon can give you four innings, even if he does give up a homer, make it a solo, and only gives up two runs, the Cubs are going to be in a position to put some runs on the board as they've done as of late. So, again, I understand why you're hesitant to put Sheldon on the bump. I get it.
Yeah.
I talk to David Haw every day.
Is this Haw?
And he tells me every day, don't do it.
Well, why? You tell Haw.
Right. But the fact of the matter is, unfortunately, Cubs fans, you don't have many options.
That is true, and I'm loving the text line right now because I love this stuff. I mean, this is what we all do. This is why we're here. We're talking strategy. We're all giving our opinions. I'm seeing names like Ben Brown as a possibility out there. Drew Bad Pomerantz. Drew Pomerantz as an opener as well. So I find it fascinating.
Let me ask you this, Greg.
Yeah.
Let's say Saturday happens, Cubs lose. This has been, we're talking about them having the best fan bases. They've made their way into the playoffs, knocked out the San Diego Padres in the first round. Tough battle going five games against the Milwaukee Brewers. Will this be seen this season, be seen as a success for the Chicago Cubs?
Ooh, I love when you ask me questions, but that is a tough, I'll be honest with you. We actually did that question as a five on it question. I think it was, Robbie, was in the middle of the San Diego series. Was it after one game, maybe, of the San Diego series?
Yeah, then.
So right around there, we were asked the question. Jesus Christ.
I'm too lazy to look it up.
I got you. Yeah, I understand.
A couple weeks ago.
It's a Friday. We've got marathon people walking around.
Gabe's
we were missing Ray for about an hour.
It was a really good discussion, though. But I
came with pizza.
Oh, yeah.
From the meeting, I didn't buy the pizza.
It was, Ray, you look so proud. You look like a hunter coming back for his with his family. Like, you're like, guys, look at this. I did this for you.
I've been pillaging.
Mitch Rosen told me bring down the pizza for the guys. I hate to break it to you now, though. There is only one slice left.
But
there's more food upstairs.
I ate one of the slices.
Ray, what kind of
I will bring you more
what
food.
What kind of drop-off is this? Yeah. One slice of pizza for the guys.
It's an open hallway.
Fair. All right. I want to hear the answer to this question.
Lady and the Tramp, you too.
Oh, yeah.
And you can text in as well. Feel free to text in the score text line. But I want to hear from Grody. You know, it's been a good season up to this point, but is it a success if they lose on Saturday?
So when I answered this question the first time, I said I'm going to need to think about it. Like if that was it, like San Diego was it, or if they, like, they'll just say even they won that series. And the complicated part in my mind is maybe because I was part of it, or I was a broadcaster during 15, 16, and 17, the best years of the Cubs. I saw a new precedent take place. I saw the fan base every single day for 3 years. I saw how they changed, how their expectations changed. I also saw how the players' expectations changed. And all those guys are gone now. I get it. But I always say, from a figurative standpoint, it's always like those guys were hugging Wrigley Field and saying, guys, this ain't like your old Cubs. You can go back to not being afraid of every damn playoff game that occurs. As a matter of fact, you can expect the Cubs to win. So I set my precedent at the Cubs should be a team that wins playoff games and wins playoff series. After a five-year absence, I will admit it feels more novel, like when you lost that little string of sustained success. So I'm a little bit more exuberant and a little bit more maybe allowing for flaws because a rebuild has essentially been complete. If the Cubs lose this game tomorrow, yes, Gabe, I will have thought that it was a successful season for the Chicago Cubs. And here's why. Because you could still build, like, it's real stuff that will have happened, and maybe even perfect. Like, in terms, like, if you're really weighing everything, the Cubs losing that game tomorrow is probably about right, considering what Milwaukee has been this year. The better team for most of the year, except for those shining days that the Cubs were leading the division. But I think that there's enough to build on from this season. Guys like Michael Bush, who has been an absolute revelation. We know what PCA has done this year for the Cubs. We know, and I get it, it's been rough sledding for Matthew Boyd, but you're going to have Cade Horton back on this team next year. You're still, and Shota will recover. Shota will recover no matter what happens for the rest of this playoffs. He is still a solid starter. And guess who else is coming back? Justin Steele, I assume. So there's just so many real things about what this playoff run has been, and hopefully it will be longer, that yes, I will accept it as success. But guess what? I'll be putting a lot of pressure on the Cubs to make this team better and to be in a position next year where there's no funny stuff and the Cubs are the team that win the division and have the advantage going into the postseason.
This season was a success for the Chicago Cubs despite what happens tomorrow. You can't win the World Series every year, guys. You can't win the Super Bowl every year. So what do those off seasons look like for you? And obviously sometimes they're few and far between, but if you can make a deep run in the playoffs despite moves, mega moves that you could have made at the trade deadline,
yeah,
and make the run that you have with Cade Horton going down right before the playoffs. I mean, this is just passion, fire, energy from this Cubs team. The front office has done a good job, I mean, despite the moves, like I said, but putting the squad together. And then when you think about the future, right, what can this look like? The reason why they didn't make the moves at the trade deadline the last 2 years is because they didn't feel like they were there yet. They are here. They have arrived. This is their window. They have the talent there. Now, they're going to have to replace, if he moves on, a Kyle Tucker. Going to have to get another arm or allow Cade Horton to, you know, obviously grow into your ace, for that matter. Justin Steele being up there as well. But this is a success because you can see what the next couple of years look like for the Chicago Cubs. And what it looks like is a pennant contending team that should be in the playoffs, where the expectations of the fan base is that we want to see them there. And I think they will. So to me, a success without a doubt, it's a success for the Chicago Cubs. Because let me tell you something, as a Sox fan, if the Sox would have duplicated this, without a doubt, it would have been a success.
Check this out, Gabe. A note from Ryan Porth. Maybe this is another head fake, as Kyler Gordon said to me the other day. I'm not going to head fake you. He's like, I'm playing. He says, guys, there's food in the kitchen from the marathon meeting. 10th floor kitchen. So, that's timestamp 12:59.
I was like, dude, I heard
12:59.
And it's gone.
Yeah.
No, there's plenty of food. And we have one slice of pizza from Ray Diaz.
Thanks.
I will make you guys plates.
Yeah.
I will bring them down for you.
Okay.
You just tell me your order, sirs.
Thank you, Ray. He's such a good Ray. When we return on Raheemy Harris and Grody with Gabe Ramirez, we're keeping the Cubs talk cooking. We got to talk about who might pitch
Little
for
Bears.
Milwaukee. The Little Bear. Actually, you know, I got to tell you this really quick. I love Ron Darling. He's great. I remember him very well as a pitcher because he was in the National League East, which the Cubs used to ride in. He is the only issue that I have with him is that he used to play for the Mets of the Eastern Conference or the East Division. So okay. that was a rough team. But when we return, we are going to talk to Elise Menaker of the Marquee Sports Network. Let's talk about the Cubs and the Brewers here on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Here's the stretch and the 2-1.
Fly ball, deep left center. This ball's got a chance. Gone. Kyle Tucker with a home run.
I've been waiting for Kyle Tucker to do his things, but it kind of came like it was starting to build yesterday. Had a couple of nice hits, good contact, and then today, Bam.
Ooh.
This is what you need. Like, you need him.
Yeah, you do. Pat Hughes on the score. Kyle Tucker with a home run off of Robert Gasser in the seventh inning. It was massive. They were all big. Every single inch of runs that were scored last night were big and necessary. That happened to have made it 5-0. You also heard the voice of Elise Menaker of the Marquee Sports Network. As we welcome you back into Raheemy Harris and Grody, we have Gabe Ramirez in today for Marshall Harris and for Layla Raheemy.
Am I also of the Marquee Sports Network?
Are you of the Marquee Sports Network?
I have a TV show on there.
Oh,
I feel like I should
God, that's right. I get you mixed up because you cross a lot of paths with TV stations in this town, man.
I got a lot of checks.
Marquee, CHSN. Don't count them, though. Joining us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, let's get Elise Menaker into the conversation. CircaLasVegas.com. It feels like, Elise, that our guy Gabe right now needs a little bit of confirmation that he is indeed
she's for real.
A big part
she's
of the Marquee Sports Network.
Elise is for real a part of the Marquee Sports Network.
I've known Gabe for a long time.
Yeah.
I used to work with my sister, so yeah, we go way back.
Elise and I are real friends.
You guys... You guys are legit. Elise is going to be in Milwaukee tomorrow for Game 5, Cubs and Brewers. Our pregame show starts at 6:30 right here on the score. The first pitch at 7:08 to be made by fill in the blank, Elise Menaker. What have you heard?
No, right?
What do you think? We just did 10 minutes on who it could be, this is the fun part of it all, but it is a hugely important question, obviously, going into the elimination game for both teams tomorrow. Or do you call it the move-on game?
It's the question, and that will, I think, actually for both teams, it seems to be the question and who will start. I haven't heard anything. I don't have any inside scoop or know the direction that they're leaning in. It obviously lines up for Shota, and we know that he has struggled a little bit recently. He did do well when they had an opener, which was back in the wild card series.
Kittredge.
And so perhaps that is another option. And sometimes the opener also depends on what they like with matchups, so it doesn't mean it always has to be Kittredge. I mean, I think you guys have seen that you could do. Drew Pomeranz has done it a couple times. I know that they also like Kittredge in that spot because he's really good at bouncing around just to different spots wherever you want to pitch him. And, also credit to the bullpen because we highlighted it last night in postgame too, and I talked about it, but just the way these guys are able – to pitch whenever called upon, wherever in the game, matchup based, trying to set them up for success. And they've really bought into that. So, we'll see. But perhaps it's the opener route with Shota and go from there.
All
hands on deck.
We spent the majority of the show really trying to wrap our brains around this Cubs team and, what they've meant to the city throughout the course of the season. You've been there firsthand. When you look at this squad, both offensively and pitching as well, how would you describe this team and what they've been able to endure throughout the season?
Yeah, I think it was definitely highlighted by the offense, especially in the first half and what you saw guys do, particularly Pete Crow Armstrong, Kyle Tucker, Seiya Suzuki. And then I think when some of that kind of leveled off or went away in the second half, that's kind of when it became like, man, where did that go? Or why aren't guys performing at the level they were before? Were they overperforming in the first half, or which one are they? And I think this is a really good offense. I think the ups and downs we see are normal. It's a normal part of the season. Kyle Tucker has had injuries. Seiya Suzuki, man, has it been so fun to see him get comfortable and be confident. Pete Crow Armstrong, I think, is 23 years old and still just going through the ups and downs of what every young player does. And I think even maybe a little bit more because a lot of eyeballs on him. He's an extremely fun player to watch. Electric, one of the most electric in the game. And so I think with that also just comes learning how to deal with that. You go to the All-Star game, you get all this attention. I think he's made for it. He's made for the spotlight. But I think also you're just seeing a player handle everything for the first time. So I think it's highlighted by them. I've said throughout the postseason, I really think that Dansby's like the anchor. He's the guy in this postseason who has experience. He's a calming guy in these situations, having been there, done that. And just when you see him with the ease that he makes it appear, at least, make some of these plays, you kind of fall back on him. So perhaps, Gabe, then that leads to the next part of this team, which is the defense. This pitching staff is not always going to be strikeouts. Majority of the guys are going to pitch to contact throw a lot of strikes, which means they're going to keep this defense active as well. So I think it's just an all-around, when playing right, they can do a lot of different things well. So whether it's defense, you go back to the offense, it's hit, run, do little things, and there is slug. There's definitely slug in this team as well. And I think you got to give credit to the pitching staff, who the rotation, losing Justin Steele right away, Matthew Boyd stepping up big, being an all-star, the way Shota coming back from injury, you know, has dealt with things and has been a key part of the rotation as well. And just how bullpen guys have stepped up, and it's been an all-around effort.
I loved Elise last night, and we came in hearing the Kyle Tucker home run. We heard you talking to Kyle Tucker. I love that he hit that homer last night, because you kind of
Wasn't that so fun?
Right, and you said it, Elise. It was like it's been this perfect buildup for him. You know, you see, it's been slow. You know, the improvement, but you see him start to get some singles, and then he hits the bomb last night.
Yeah, and I think my favorite part was just when he put his hand in the air, and it's like he's smiling in the dugout, and you just saw this guy that you've missed. You want him. You love him out there. You love watching him play. Kyle Tucker is just this guy who, the way he handles everything, just with such calm and ease. Honestly, like, I remember when he first came to the Cubs, I'm like, man, this is admirable. Like, I wish I could half the time be like as calm as you and handle stuff like you, because it's really, you know, what makes him him. And so I think that's also another person. And you know, when we talk about, like when Gabe was bringing up the offense, he was a big part of it in that first half. I think we saw an immediate impact in how he affected this entire lineup. So if he comes alive and even just starts doing things like that, because if there's one thing you can count on him for, it's a good at bat. And if he gets a hit, great. He can also walk. You know, he gets on base. He finds ways to get on base. And so you do want the slug in there from him. You do want, you know, the hits. But I give him credit for working through down parts of the season that he really hadn't had to deal with previously in his career, and the attitude and the way he approaches and how he just wants to win and be a part of this team has never changed.
Yeah, I mean, he's someone that you have to depend on, right? You brought him in for a reason, sure, to make an impact on this squad, especially in the playoffs. Elise, the guy who's made an equally as big of an impact is Craig Counsell. And I want you to talk about, you know, the faith and trust that these guys have in him. You saw him make some critical moves this playoffs, but he's going to have to, you know, they're going to be depending on him, not just the players, but the fan base, management, on Craig Counsell to push the right buttons. You know, how much faith do you think this team has in him, and what does that look like for this squad?
Yeah, I think even just from the moment that Craig came over, you felt that trust in, you know, the Cubs organization having confidence that they wanted him to be the guy, and then that bleeding over into what you kind of watched from afar, what were his strengths and what he could then bring to the Cubs. I think first and foremost, it was how he manages pitching. So that's why, like, when you see the games that we're seeing now with this staff, that Craig Counsell, like, created that. You know, he's telling these guys that you're out-getters. I remember even before the postseason, when we would ask, like, who's starting? Are you going to have an opener? Like Bruce would always ask. And I really actually liked Counsell's answer when he was like, call whatever you want. Like, if you want to call an opener, call an opener. Great. Like, these guys are here to get outs, meaning labels in the postseason are going out the window. Like, it is truly, we're going to need guys in situations that we don't ordinarily need them in. And that is why he's essentially, like, trained them to buy in, and they have bought in to the idea that, you know, they are just there to get whatever outs they are called upon to get. That's part of the trust that you see in Craig Counsell. Trust in, you know, I think the way, you know, his personality, so calm, consistent. I really like that about him. You know exactly who you're going to get every day. I think that is what players like and trust about him. Pete Crow Armstrong made the comment at the beginning of the postseason, like, you know, this is the guy that you want. There's no one better in games like this, because one, he's been in them. He's been in game sevens. He's won. There's this automatic, just like, you've been there and done that. So, and then you add to that, like, everything that he has done in his playing career, managerial career, you start to see why he was so successful in all those aspects. And I think a big part of it is because he does have that mindset, that heart, that slow heartbeat, you know, all those intangibles that you talk about with winners. So it kind of, he doesn't even need to try. He just, by going about being who he is, you kind of just believe in that.
It's going to be really interesting to see how Craig Counsell manages tonight in terms of his patience, you know, and like if it is, excuse me, tomorrow, if it is Shota Imanaga starting and he allows runners on first and second with less than two outs, is he at that point pulling him? How itchy do you think he is going to be tomorrow night, Elise? And will there be some things that maybe he's tolerated so far in the postseason that he will not tomorrow?
I think it's all hands on deck. Yeah, I mean, you know that the thing with this Brewers lineup is they put pressure on you. They can speed up the game on you. So the games that the Cubs have won, one, they've done a good job of scoring. And two, you know, their defense, they've looked solid. They've done the fundamentals. There were some miscues in the other games that were uncharacteristic for the Cubs. When you would see the Nico player, the pop-up. Nico's been so good all season long. Like, to me, like, things like that sometimes just happen. And I do think it's like, that's kind of what the Brewers do, right? Like, there's going to be runners on, they're going to make things happen. They're going to put the ball in play. They're going to have good at bats. They grind out at bats and they do the fundamentals well in the field. Like they play good baseball. That's why they have the best record in the game. So, because of that, and because they've been facing elimination now for two games in a row, and this being their third, and they dealt with it in the wild card, I think you see that, like, hopefully you can get what you need, which doesn't need to be a lot from your starter, to set up the rest of the way with the bullpen and the matchups that you want.
All right, at least,
when you hear all hands on deck, it really is, you know, you just got to win, whatever it takes to win.
And it's going to have to be all hands on deck tomorrow, Elisa. Last question I got for you, you know, fill in the blank. The Cubs win tomorrow if?
If they continue, one, hit the way they've been hitting, and two, keeping the game slow, don't let it speed up on you when the Brewers put pressure, you're going back to their ballpark. So just keep playing your game.
Elise, thank you so much. Have fun in Milwaukee, and my God, it would be fun.
You hope
the Cubs.
It's fun.
Yeah, it would be really fun if the Cubs advanced.
Huh? Hope it's fun.
Oh, man, isn't it crazy, these elimination games, how it just, you don't even know, you go into it, it's either season over or you're moving on.
It's a lot of fun. Thank you so much, Elise. We appreciate you.
Thank you, guys. Yep, thank you.
Yep, absolutely. That is Elise Menaker, host, reporter, and analyst for the Marquee Sports Network, where Gabe Ramirez also works.
Inside the Fire, check it out. And also the sister of Showbiz Shelley, which I think is really cool. Not a lot of people know that. Showbiz Shelley, an icon in the city, you know, FM radio. And to think that, you know, her sister, Elise Menaker, is out here doing the equivalent, it's really cool.
Wait, what?
You didn't know that?
Oh, I didn't know that.
You didn't? Well, that's what she was saying. I used to work, I did mornings with Showbiz Shelley on B96.
Oh, God. That flew right over my head.
Yeah, Showbiz Shelley and I worked together for like
15
years.
Oh, no, I know that. I didn't realize they were sisters.
Yeah, Michelle Menaker and Elise Menaker.
What?
Yeah, shout out Showbiz Shelley forever.
Mind blown. Yes. Wow, that is cool. That is.
Hopefully there's other people in the car that feel the exact same way.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I did not know that. That is great. That's what you get from a Gabe Ramirez. I appreciate that. You're welcome. We have one more segment left. I am told that we have a handful of meatball machine messages that we must listen to.
Meatball machine.
So we will do that and a little bit more as well. We have yet to recognize one of our fallen sports heroes, is what I will just say about her. It's all coming up. Raheemy Harris and Grody Show with Gabe Ramirez on The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos,
maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The School.
I believe our young men can do it. They're really... We follow our motto of work and worship, worship, work and win. And then we believe and we trust. And that's what we have to do.
That's the voice of Sister Jean. And I don't think there's anybody in this city... And maybe even in this country, because she became universal during those Loyola runs. I don't think anybody, when they heard that Sister Jean Dolores Schmidt, the beloved chaplain for Loyola Chicago's basketball team, died at 106 years old, my reaction was, oh man, Sister Jean, Sister Jean, because she made us all smile. And honestly, when I saw the news, I did smile. A little bit. You know why? Because she lived to 106 years old, and I assume she died of being 106 years old. I'm not even going to read on. I'm just going to assume that that is the case. But yeah, like what a great, beautiful story for this city and the country if they needed it as well.
Yeah, I think when you're talking about ambassadors for particular teams, when you think about Sister Jean, she certainly stands at the top of people that were synonymous with certain squads. And, you know, the Loyola Ramblers had themselves quite the bit of runs when she was there. So I think everyone enjoyed seeing her smiling face, loving attitude, and warmth.
You're right. And it's just the same picture. Little old Sister Jean sitting in her chair with her nice blazer on and the Loyola scarf. Yeah, it's just so nice, and it makes me smile. So our sympathies to her family. And Sister Jean, as lordly as she is, she's probably listening right now. So shout out to Sister Jean. Thank you so much for making us all smile. And now a perfect transition to the meatball machine. let's be honest. Sister Jean was a bit of a meatball.
She admitted too.
Absolutely. I feel very comfortable about this transition. I don't care what anybody says.
So I'm new here. I need to know what the meatball machine is.
So the meatball machine, you know how that you have that little record button that you could hit on the Odyssey app?
Okay, yes.
So we invite people to do that at any point in time where they can get a little bit creative with their messages, whereas maybe you can't normally do that when it's a phone call. And, you know, if you swear, it's like it's not encouraged, but we have ways of bleeping those things out. So the recorded calls are what we're going to get to here. It is time now for the meatball machine. And wait a minute. We are told we have a live meatball.
Oh, I love this.
This person, this is true. Big if true. He is our most important meatball. His name is Marshall Harris. His name is on this show, Raheemy Harris and Grody. And make no mistake about it, he's a big meatball. What's up, Mars Hall?
So I'm watching this game last night. And the way it ends,
it sounds like a voice
just has me in tears. But hold up. That wasn't even the game I was trying to watch. That was just a game that just happened to be on when I was trying to watch the game that I was supposed to be watching.
Oh, man. Yeah, you got to switch to TNT. As soon as they say in the little upper box on the right hand, TNT, I'm going to TNT.
And I sit here and I watch this guy with the bases loaded have trouble fielding this ball, and his catcher's pointing to first base because everybody knows there's two outs. You just go to first base when there's two outs and there's a forced play at first. But he throws home, and he misses home badly, and the game is over, and the series is over,
upsetting.
And the season is over. And I was like, oh, this isn't the game I'm supposed to be watching. Let me turn to the other game. And I turned to that game, and some dude's hitting a three-run homer. And, yeah, that was the second most important hit in the game. You know what the most important hit in the game was last night? You know what the most important hit of that game was? It was Kyle Tucker saying, y'all thought I didn't have any power? Let me show y'all something. I'll see y'all in game 5. Because that's where we are now. Because that's a very different lineup when you talk about, oh, that dude that hits in the top half of the order can actually hit it out of the ballpark? Oh, we cooking with fish grease now. That's what I saw.
Hold on a second. Hold on real quick. Real quick here. What if I told you that Shota Imanaga was pitching game 5?
Now I would say you're a liar. Don't get on these airwaves and lie to me. He's not pitching a game.
He sniffed it out, guys. He sniffed it out.
He better not be pitching in game 5.
Abort.
Marshall, why not? Why don't you want him to pitch game five at all?
Oh, God, here we go.
I'm just asking.
Marshall. Go ahead.
Gabe, let me tell you something. And I appreciate you holding it down while, you know,
of course.
Those of us who could not be on the show.
I've never been on a show before where I filled in for people and both of them were on the show. It's weird, but I'm here for it.
Here's why. Shota Imanaga, what has he done each of the last 12 times he's, or excuse me, I guess 11 times that he's entered our ball game? What is the one thing that has been constant? What has he done?
Split finger fastball.
He has given up bombs. You can't afford to have him give up bombs. What was his ERA in the regular season in the first inning of games? 7.20?
Bomb.
How does that look when you give up runs early to the Brewers? It doesn't look good. It hasn't looked good in this series. Now, the Cubs have been fortunate that they scored in the first inning of all these games. But I need somebody out there who can at least give me a chance of knowing, hey, maybe we don't give up bombs today. Did they give up bombs last night, Gabe? Did they give up any bombs last night?
No bombs. I think when no runs crossed the home plate, that's zero bombs.
Zero bombs.
Over the course of time in which over his last nine starts, he was giving up 15 home runs in the regular season, another guy made 10 starts over the last 10 starts of the regular season. His name's Colin Ray. He gave up one bomb over those 10 starts. Let Ray be your bolt guy. Use an opener to start it. Bring in Palencia after Ray. Ball game.
Fifth inning Palencia has been my favorite thing in the playoffs. I got to be honest.
It's sick.
This is like, it just shuts down everything in the very middle of the game. It says, no, we're taking over from here on out. I don't need to wait. This is the moment right here. We're shutting this down. I love it. But unfortunately, he's not going to start this one. It's going to be interesting, Marshall, to see who they actually throw out there. It's going to be fun.
Wait a minute, Marshall.
It's going to be Colin Ray in bulk. Accept that. Accept that. Wish for that. Hope for that. Pray for that. Okay?
Yeah. We got to go in a second here, but how dark, because you're in Philly. How dark is it in Philly today?
Let me tell you.
The streets are empty.
The sun is shining, but that's the only thing that's shining. Because last night, I was scared to be outside. I was like, ooh, Jackson Dart did what? Cam Scataboo scored how many touchdowns? And your pitcher couldn't throw it to first base? Ooh, let me get back inside real quick.
That's some hot sports talk radio there, though, man. Ooh, boy. Marshall, you are the best for coming on. We appreciate it. We got you back on Monday, right? We're full strength on Monday?
Oh, we are full strength on Monday because we got to talk about the NLCS. And we got to talk about a big number one versus number two draft picks going head-to-head on Monday Night Football. We got a lot to do.
You're damn right.
Let's do it together.
Kevin
Brody, how about that?
Let's do it together as one right here in Chicago. Marshall, thanks for coming on. Looking forward to seeing you in a couple days, buddy.
All right, love you guys. Bye.
Yeah, love you too.
Te amo.
That's Marshall Harris. He is one of the co-hosts of Raheemy Harris and Grody. Gabe Ramirez is in today. Guys, there is like a party going on in the producer's studio right now. Two of the attendees that I'm seeing right now, one of them is Lawrence Holmes. He's right there. I see Matt Spiegel, who has just now peeked out into the hallway. We're going to bring them in here in just a second for transition.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I got to step out.
Oh, no!
I know. Speaking of Shelby Shelley, I'm going to go down and do B96 from 2 to 7.
Okay.
So I got double duty today, so
send Layla in then. She's over. She's over.
Bring Marshall back on the phone. This will be fine.
She got a VIP into that producer studio party that's going on right now. So of course you're welcome, Layla. Come transition with us.
It's your show.
It's a time of transition for all of us here. We have got Spiegel. What you got, Lawrence?
Layla's doing transition.
Oh yeah! We've got it. This is the weirdest day on the score, and I love it. I love every bit of it. Transition is next, Gabe. You are the best, man.
It's great working with you. G&G forever.
Always love working with you. Hope we could do it again soon. This is Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.